K-Boo at the Clinton is our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, The Brainwashing of My Dad, will play Saturday, February 11th at 7:30 p.m. In The Brainwashing of My Dad, Jen Senko tries to understand the transformation of her father from a non-political, lifelong Democrat to an angry right-wing fanatic, and asks questions about who owns the airwaves and what responsibility the government has to keep the airwaves truly fair, accurate, and accountable to the truth. Filmmaker will be present at the screening. Again, that's The Brainwashing of My Dad, Saturday, February 11th at 7:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, the transportation choice of Portlanders since 1946, with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab has a mobile app that allows you to book a cab with your phone, available at the App Store, Google Play, and at radiocab.net. Or, if you prefer, you can talk to a real person at 503-227-1212. This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Good evening, Portland, and welcome to Trans Positive. Tonight is our special Valentine's Day show. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day.
So we're going to go around the studio real quick and have everyone introduce themselves. And we're also going to introduce our guests. We have several guests on tonight. So I will start. My name is Emma, and I go by she and her pronouns.
My name is Rowan, and I go by he and him.
My name is Aiden, and I go by he and him.
My name is Nicolette, and I go by A&M.
And my name is Jean, and I go by she and her.
Great. And so tonight is our trans sex, love, and dating show. And trans is trans spectrum. So we're talking tonight about trans, intersex, genderqueer, gender fluid, gender non-binary, love, sex, and dating. And we're also going to be doing a show that is just going to be for the podcast. So this show is going to be more about relationships, and we're going to talk more in safe language that we can talk about that's family friendly, FCC friendly. And then if you want to hear the show, we're also going to be having a show that's a little bit more detail oriented, where we'll be talking about body parts and sexual acts and stuff like that. And that's going to be on transpositive.wordpress.com. So you can catch that tomorrow or the next day. So I'd like to introduce our guest. We have three guests tonight. Our first guest is Toby Hillmeyer. Toby, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, great. All right. Thank you. And then we also, is Laura there? Laura, are you there? Laura Americo? No, not yet. Okay. So Toby is the author of The New Trans Erotica. And we'd like to have a discussion tonight with Toby and also with our guests, if our guests want to call in at 503-231-8187. You're welcome to call if you have any questions for the trans community. We'd be happy to talk to you. But first, let's do a quick go around and check in with everybody and see how people are doing.
My name is Rowan. I'm doing great. I just came from work, and I'm excited to talk about trans people and love and sex.
This is Aiden, and I just came back from home. I'm currently working on my next video that has to do with the way that we, you know, perceive sexuality and the way that there's expectations since we're kids.
My name is Nicolette. I'm doing good. I just came from school, so I'm sorry if... Oh. It's on it. Okay. Yeah. I just came from school, so I'm exhausted. I'm sorry if I sound very tired tonight. I'm really excited for tonight's show because there's a lot of really interesting topics in this discussion that I'm hoping to touch on.
Great. Jean here, and I just fought my way through Portland traffic to get here.
And I'm Emma, and I'm just so excited because it's just the reason that we're having the show tonight is because we really want to celebrate our bodies. We want to celebrate transgender bodies, gender queer, gender fluid, gender non-binary, intersex bodies, because trans bodies are beautiful, and we live in a culture that too often shames trans bodies, treats transgender people as either fetishes or else renders us invisible by saying that our bodies are abnormal, they're unlovable, they're not desirable. And we in the trans community know that our bodies are wonderful, they're beautiful, and they're very pleasurable and joyful and capable of receiving love. And we have all of the beauties that everyone in the community does. And also we have love and experiences of bodies that are unique. And so we want to talk about some of the things that, you know, are of concern to our community. It's Valentine's Day coming up in a week, and we just want to make sure that everyone's included. So I'd like to start by introducing our guest, Toby Hellmeyer. And also, I guess, Laura America, are you here, Laura?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, great, great. And we've also got Laura Americo. Laura, let's start with Toby. Toby, why don't you introduce yourself and talk about your book, and then we'll go to Laura.
Yeah, so my name's Toby Hellmeyer. I've been doing work in the community as a trans activist, writer, and filmmaker for coming up on 15 years now, I think. And so the new book I'm going to be releasing actually in just 10 days is Nerve Endings, The New Trans Erotic. And it's an anthology of short fiction telling trans stories about sex, sexuality, and relationships with 30 different contributors who each wrote different stories. So that's one of the things that I'm really excited to talk about, but I kind of have a background around the field of sexuality and trans rights in quite a bunch of ways. I wrote the sexuality chapter in Trans Bodies, Trans Selves, and I've had bits and pieces of work published all over the place.
Great, thank you. And the main focus of our show tonight is going to be with you and with Laura. And then at 6:30, we're bringing on Judah Largent. And Judah is a sex educator and has worked at As You Like It, which is a shop in Eugene that focuses specifically on sex positive toys and different kinds of things that help to enhance a person's sexuality. Laura, can you introduce yourself, please?
Sure. My name is Laura Americo. I'm a trans feminine person from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm a musician and artist. I actually released an EP recently called She, They, which is alt-rock, delicate, queercore sort of music. I also write a bit here and there about trans rights, and I'm an activist here fighting for the same thing. That's about it.
Really. Great. Thank you. And you come highly recommended from Janice Covington Allison, who says like we had to get you on the show. She said like you're the next up and coming thing in the trans community. So thank you for being with us tonight.
I appreciate
that. Everyone, our co-host here, feel free to just, you know, drop in questions. This is going to be pretty open tonight. Who would like to start? Okay, I'll start. Toby, why don't you tell us a little bit about your book first? Because I know that you've got this new book coming out.
Yeah.
and a lot of people may not have heard about this book, and it sounds really exciting. It's called Nerve Endings.
Yeah, so we just had a successful Kickstarter for it recently, and it'll be coming out on February 17th. If anyone wants to check out where you can get more information and pre-order the book, you can find it at Instar Books, InstarBooks.com. And initially I had the idea for this book because I had been, doing a lot of work in writing short fiction and erotica. And there was just a real serious lack, that it was really hard to find anything that was, you know, even just about trans people, let alone written by trans people and people in our communities. And so I wanted to try and do something like that, but I also wanted to do a bit of a different twist on it. Whereas a lot of my work, what I'm known for doing is working in the realm of sexuality, but bringing in a more holistic perspective where we get to see all kinds of details that people wouldn't normally expect to be in something that might be labeled erotica. And so, for example, there's a wide range of different experiences of relationships and sexuality in this book. There's a story about a trans woman who is starting to date and looks at a couple of different options, explores a few things, and then decides to not have sex right now. And then there's also a story about orcs in space dealing with triggers from childhood sexual trauma. And so there's a wide range of kinds of things, and I really wanted to get a chance to have writers explore issues that are meaningful to them, things from dealing with anxiety to struggling with relationships and trying to figure out how to navigate relationships with people who might or might not know that you're trans, or people who know that you're trans and what expectations they might have with that, and all kinds of things like that.
Hmm. Great. Does anybody have any questions for Laura? Or
yeah, this is Rowan. I'm wondering, did you have any difficulties soliciting these stories, either at all or like getting a good sort of gender demographic distribution?
Yeah, so like it was my goal from the beginning to get more than enough submissions, because if there were just enough submissions, then I wouldn't get to pick and choose. And so I wanted to have enough quality submissions that I could pick what might be a good balance. And so there's 30 stories, and I ended up getting 82 submissions to choose from. So I did have to extend the deadline in order to make that happen. And even so, there were a number of people who found out later and said they wished they could have submitted, or people who I had hoped would submit something but didn't have time to. But definitely trying to look at like what is the balance of the gender of protagonists and the gender of their partners and representation of people of color and people with disabilities were all on my mind. And it's not a perfect balance, because that's not how reality works. You're working with finite material and you just can't do that. But I am really proud of the balance that I was able to achieve with that.
Great.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you about is when you were researching the book, did you find that a lot of people in our community had been like maybe traumatized because of an experience that they had before, because of all the stigma on this topic?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely hear a lot of things, and I've been in the community a while, and one of the things that I have heard so many times, and it is always painful to hear, is usually when someone's earlier in their experience of transitioning, and dealing with this like crippling self-doubt that they're essentially unlovable. And
right,
I've heard
right.
people come up with their own justification, which always sounds really similar, of kind of like, well, if I break down the world into to people who are
like gay, lesbian, straight, then like here's a category of people who aren't attracted to my gender, and here's a category of people who aren't attracted to my body, and therefore nobody's ever attracted to me. And that's just not reality. People are like, first of all, that ignores that bi people exist and pan mm-hmm. people exist, but also, you know, people are attracted to trans people like they're attracted to any other people. And so I kind of wanted to have an opportunity to address some of those kinds of things and be able to show and demonstrate what relationships can look like, what attraction can look like, what sex can look like for trans people. And there definitely were some interesting, like, common themes that came out in the submissions. And these themes aren't necessarily what came through in the book, because I wasn't necessarily looking to represent this. But there were a lot of submissions that really included a lot of drugs or alcohol, or, like, people, like, drinking a lot to build up the courage to have sex. There were also a lot of stories about people dealing with extreme anxiety and being very afraid to, like, broach the subject of sex or like, tell someone that you like them. And then also definitely a lot of stories about people dealing with histories of trauma and a wide range of different traumas and experiences of trauma that people are dealing with as they go through the stories. I wouldn't assume that the authors had those personal experiences or didn't, but being able to explore that in these stories was definitely a big part of what I was looking to do when I created this book.
Thank you.
So this is Nicolette. You've already kind of talked about this subject, but I was hoping to know a little more in depth. What kind of impact are you hoping that this book will have on both non-trans people's understanding of love and sexuality in the trans community, as well as other trans people?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that I want to get across to folks is that it's not that different. That when it comes to sex and relationships, the core things that really matter are pretty universal and apply to everyone. And I think by being able to show a wide range of stories, and that was important to me, like 30 stories is a lot. It's a pretty big book, but it was important to me to have a lot of stories because I didn't want to have someone, you know, read 10 stories and only like two that had the gender pairing of that they're thinking about and make some conclusion based off of just two stories. And so being able to show a range of stories and experiences, including stories based in fantasy and science fiction settings, was a real exciting way to be able to kind of demonstrate the wide breadth that, you know, a lot of times people talk about sex and dating in the trans community and the conversation never gets past disclosure, when to disclose you're trans, how to disclose you're trans, and how people react to disclosing that you're trans. And that definitely is an issue, and it jumps out for a lot of people as an anxiety, but it is a very small part of what sexuality and dating can look like. And by showing so many stories, I want to get people to kind of widen their view of what this topic means and be able to see some potential, like, possibilities of what things can look like, so that you don't get locked into one narrative that we're all supposed to fulfill, and instead be able to figure out our own.
So, Laura, I'd like to ask you a question. Laura, how do you deal with the subject of sex, love, and relationships in your art?
I see sex as being more than just in the bedroom. I see the whole universe as being sexual, breathing in and out. You exhale and inhale, and you go in and out. And the sea goes in and out with the tide changes. So I try to express that in my own art and in my music. I think sex physically between two humans is just another way to love. And the purpose of my art is to show that humanity between two individuals.
And you're an artist and a musician. Can you tell us a little bit about your art?
Right now, my focus has been photography. I had a gallery recently called Chrysalis, which was it was basically, it was 20 subjects, and each subject they chose a body part that was significant to them. And for 10 of those subjects, I took photos of that body part, and I blew it up into a 16 by 20 photo. And I put objects from their everyday life attached to the frame. So you'd have a picture of an ankle, and then surrounding the ankle would be T-shirts that person wore. And the idea was that these physical representations were just as real as if the person was standing there, except they didn't have a soul attached to them like the person's body did. And I did 3D moldings of people's body parts. I had a face, a bunch of torsos and things like that, along with stuff from their lives, too.
If I may ask Laura a question. Hi, Laura. I'm Nicolette. I'm also a trans musician myself, and I'm just barely starting to break into the music industry. And so what I was hoping to know is what kind of obstacles or other experiences have you had as an artist and musician who happens to be trans? And what advice would you have for other trans artists and musicians who are facing those same obstacles?
I find that the music scene can be very straight, hetero, male dominated, just like most things are. So, being a trans woman, I have to look past the fact that most musicians in my genre are usually straight, white, cis men. So, my advice would be to ignore all that and not make music to be successful as far as fame and popularity and financial wealth. I'd say make the music that expresses what you're trying to express, and who cares who likes it.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I'm wondering, as far as like marketing as well, because what I've noticed in my experience is that there are a lot of people out there that they don't feel that is important. They don't feel that we need that it's important to spread the message. So as far as like marketing goes, do you have any tips?
Marketing is probably the most difficult thing when it comes to music, because anything you release is going to be released alongside of thousands and thousands of other releases and songs and different artists who are also talented. I think as a trans woman, what I find important with my marketing is that my music isn't special because I'm trans. Me being trans just adds to the specialness of the music. And it's not, I don't like to be labeled as a trans musician. I just like to be labeled as a musician.
Right.
So I try to market myself that way. And if, you know, if it's learned that I'm trans, that's cool too, because I don't really keep that private. So, yeah. A challenge.
So I have a question for Toby and for Laura. We'll start with Toby. Toby, how do you experience the topic of like sex, love, and dating as a trans person? How do you approach it? And is there anything that's like for you as a trans person that you navigate that's maybe different from like a cis person's experience?
I mean, I think one of the
biggest things that comes up is the expectations that other people may have for you. And I think that there, you know, trans people, and especially trans women, tend to be put into this kind of like trap of half the time being like hypersexualized and half the time being desexualized by society in general. So there'll be some people who will just, you know, see you as a source of sex and nothing more, and there's other people who are gonna like tentatively explore and expect that like sex is not on the table. And so being able to kind of like figure out where people's expectations are and to disrupt those expectations is really important. But I think just as important is how those expectations impact ourselves. You know, there's a lot of messages, and especially from like the old medical models of how you get access to medical transition would rely upon making you fit a specific sexual narrative. And if you did anything outside of that sexual narrative, from like being queer instead of straight or masturbating too often, then you might be denied access to life-saving medical care. And it kind of has an impact throughout our community where people will internalize those expectations. And this has definitely happened to me. I've definitely experienced that moment of having something about my experience of sexuality conflict with these models of how doctors from the 50s and 60s thought our sexuality should be, and feel a lot of shame or guilt about it, or like not want to explore things or let people know, kind of like hide what's going on for me because of it. And that's been a really big thing to deal with, and I've definitely seen a lot of other folks dealing with that kind of thing as well.
What about you, Laura? How do you deal with being a trans-identified person within relationships? Is there anything that's unique about your experience because you're trans?
I went through a while where I let other people define my sexuality for me, and I got really sick of that. So I started getting semi-aggressive with my sexuality and how I express it with other people, and sort of taking ownership of my body and not allowing people who I was seeing to define my body and my worth because I'm trans. Eventually it led me to finding my girlfriend, who is pretty happy with what I have in my body and my decision not to look for surgeries and things like that. And it's pretty awesome to be able to have that.
Great. Well, thank you. So we're going to take a little break here. And then when we come back from our break, we're going to have Judah Largent on. Judah Largent is going to join the conversation. And we'll be talking more about we'll be talking about sex toys. We'll be talking about surgery. We might talk about orgasms. We'll talk about relationships, but we won't talk about anything we can't talk about. So we'll see you in a few minutes. All right, we're back. Welcome to Trans Positive. If you're just joining us, this is the Sex, Love, and Dating show in honor of Valentine's Day. And we're keeping it clean because this is a live broadcast. It's going to be family friendly. But if you want to hear the show that's going to be talking more about the stuff you can't talk about to the FCC, come check out our podcast at transpositive.wordpress.com, where we're going to have a more frank discussion about sex and love and relationships. And that'll be up tomorrow, probably. So our next guest, we still have Laura and Toby on the line, so they're going to participate in this conversation as well. Our next guest is Judah Largent, and Judah is a sex educator. Judah, would you like to say hello?
Hi, how's everybody doing?
Oh, great, thank you. Can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, like you said, my name's Judah Largent. I'm a sex educator. I've also got a Juris Doctor, and I work at a shop in Eugene, Oregon called As You Like It that is body positive and gender inclusive.
Great. And what does the topic of like trans sex, love, and dating mean for you?
I think that trans people face a lot of issues that cis people face, but our issues are just really magnified, that we are taught to expect that because of our biology, that it means certain things about our personality, and the kind of ideas around gender roles and sexuality are so magnified because of society's just focus on our genitalia and what that means for people.
And you work as a sex educator. Could you tell us a little bit about what you do?
I do. So just kind of on a daily basis, our kind of space is a community space. So I work with people one-on-one, just talking through different issues or problems that might have. And on a larger scale, I do workshops and trainings and different events on different subjects just to help spread information and knowledge.
Great. Well, let's open up the discussion now. So we've got a whole room full of people here. Does anybody want to jump in next? No. Okay. I'll tell you what, let's start with Toby. So Toby, I had a question for you about your book, Nerve Endings, which is, if you want to give it a quick plug again right now, since we're back for the second half of the show, can you tell people about your book real quick?
Yeah. So my book is Nerve Endings, The New Transerotic, and it's actually going to be released just coming up soon on February 17th. It's an anthology of short stories telling trans experiences of sex, sexuality, and relationships. And if you want to find out more information or pre-order the book, you can find it at Instar Books. That's instarbooks.com.
And Toby, what in your book, what is one of your favorite stories? Like, what's a story that just really stays with you that, you know, you really cherish? And tell us a little bit about the story.
Ooh. Yeah, there's a lot that really jump out to me. I think I'm going to say, I can't pick a favorite, but one that is really exciting is one story about a trans woman who is dealing with a lot of anxiety. And we get to see the story from her perspective as all of these anxieties manifest. And a lot of them kind of take the place in horror movie tropes that she's trying to avoid as a way to kind of like bring some control in her life. But the anxiety also prevents her from doing a lot of basic functioning. And I think, you know, I have people in my life who have anxiety disorders, and this story was something that really rung true to that. And I found it to be a really powerful exploration of what anxiety can look like and when it's actually a disorder and is really impacting your life. And then her partner is a witch and will cast spells that help take away some of that anxiety. And the story never really gets into, like, is this a fantasy setting witch with magic powers, or is this like a real life person who is practicing an alternative religion? And ultimately, I don't think it really matters, but it creates a really powerful story about their relationship nonetheless.
So, thank you. So I'm going to kind of be a top here, which I'm not usually any good at being, but I guess I can be one on the radio.
And, we can be whatever we want on the radio.
Yeah, totally. So I'm going to ask some of the people in the room questions too, but I'm not going to like step on anybody's toes, but I want to kind of get the conversation warmed up like here in the room a little bit too. So Rowan, I want to ask you, what does this topic of trans sex, love, and dating, like, what does it mean for you in your life personally? Like, how do you experience this as a trans person? And is your experience different from a cis person's experience, do you think?
I mean, I think yes, probably in some ways. I mean, let me think about this. So it continues to be a thing in my life, sex, love, and dating. And I don't know. I came out like really young as a lesbian when I was in middle school. And so I had a good like while of dating as a lesbian. And then I came out as trans about 7 years ago. And then I've been out as like a bi person. And so I've dated a variety of people, some trans people, some cis people, some men, some women, some non-binary people. And I haven't found being trans specifically to be a problem, but I have found some of the like social norm communication, socialization stuff to be interesting and a little bit of a stumbling block sometimes, especially like when trying to date men, because I just don't really understand how men are socialized to communicate, especially in relationships. And it can be very just like, I don't know what you're doing right now. You're not... Are you talking about your feelings? Is this you talking about your feelings? Like, I don't understand. And so there are some scripts that like as a trans man, I don't have, but I'm expected to have in conversation where like a man will say something in like coded man language and I just like won't know how to translate it. And I'm just like, not receiving your signal here. Sorry. So yeah, it's more of that and less of like the overt. I mean, people don't want to date you I haven't experienced that as because people don't want to date me because I'm trans, but just like not everyone wants to date you and that's life. So, but then again, I live in Portland. So I have this extremely privileged bubble of like radical queers who are all like, gender, like, right. Who cares?
Who cares about
so
gender?
I feel like an old fogey because I have a relatively binary gender presentation and identification, and I'm like, sorry. So,
well, let's go over to our gender fluid and gender non-binary people then and ask them. Let's start with you, Nicolette. How do you experience the topic of sex, love, and dating as a gender non-binary person?
So it is a bit of an interesting concept for me because, I mean, like, you know, I'm pansexual. I can't even really wrap my head around the idea of someone not being attracted to someone just because of their gender. I've never experienced that. But I have come across people who have a hard time being attracted to me or figuring out how to date me because of the fact that I'm not a binary person and I'm both masculine and feminine. And it's really weird when I'm feminine presenting. People look at me and they think I'm a female. And so people will be attracted to me and they think they want to date me, but it's like I'm not a girl. And they figure that out as they're dating me. And they're like, I've had people, especially men particularly, complain that I don't act feminine enough and I don't act like a girl. And I'm like, well, guess what? I'm not a girl. That's the problem here. So that's, you know, my main experience. I'm lucky that, you know, I have found people who are, you know, like both my partners right now are non-binary, so they get it. But, you know, that's my main issue in the past is I keep running across people who expect me to be a girl and then I'm not. And they don't know how to be attracted to or how to date somebody who is not really either male or female or kind of both.
And what about you, Aiden, as a gender fluid person? How do you experience this?
I actually have a little story. I'm glad that you brought up expectations because about a year ago, I was at this bar and there was this girl that I found very attractive. And so we went dancing and we started kind of, you know, having fun a little bit. And then there were a lot of regulars that knew me. And so we went outside and they're like, "What was that?" and you know, it's people want to, and I love my friends, but people want to put you in a box, you know. And I was like, "What do you mean?" Like, "Well, I thought you were gay." And I'm like, do I have to be? Like, you know, and those expectations are the ones that it's important that we understand that people need to be educated. A lot of times it's not because they want to be mean or because they're prejudiced. It's simply because they don't have enough information to be able to understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. And I want to ask our guest over here, Jean, who's like been sitting over in the corner and saying, oh no, I don't want to do anything. Jean, how do you experience this topic of love, sex, and dating as a trans woman?
My goodness. Emma, in the context of this conversation, don't represent that I don't want to sit over there and not do anything.
Emma's putting everyone on blast.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, really what the struggle is the bridging that chasm between, you know, sexuality and relationship. Relationship, to me, is the biggest single piece of this, because without that relationship piece, the sexuality just doesn't really work. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, so much of what we experience, it has to do with the objectification of our bodies. That's common with, I guess, on both sides of the gender spectrum, really. Honestly, I guess men probably do experience that as well as women, but not, you know, not quite so much. And then when you get those of us that are in the middle, of the binary, that comes with its own set of objectifications. And, bridging that with relationship building is, it's almost impossible at times. It's just almost impossible. So you go a long time, few and far between, and that's probably why we're having the show. I really appreciated some of the earlier conversation because it was speaking a lot to the relationship side of things, really, in terms of, if you can't love yourself, if you feel shamed, if you're struggling with that stigma, if you can't be okay with yourself, nobody else is going to be okay with you either, you know. And so we kind of put off these vibes that people will be initially maybe attracted to you, but then there's something just vibratory there that just isn't clicking, and it's largely it's because we're not okay with ourselves.
Well, really interesting.
I want to jump in for a second, if that's okay.
Oh, please, and, yeah. And all of our guests on the phone, please feel free. Yeah, go ahead, Toby.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely that story really resonates with me, and I've heard that a lot. But I also want to be careful about how we talk. There is that kind of like standard message that we talk about, how like if you don't love yourself, then no one else will. And I kind of want to emphasize that everyone is lovable. Like no one is unlovable. And people who are dealing with depression or poor self-image, who are having a really hard time, that's difficult, and it's a burden to deal with, but it doesn't mean you're unlovable.
Absolutely, and I didn't mean to infer that was an absolute truth. I just was acknowledging that in my own experience.
Can I piggyback off of that real quick?
Yes, please, go ahead.
So a lot of this is an experience that I had, that when I came out and I transitioned, I was really, really uncomfortable with my body. I felt like there was ants crawling under my skin and hormones do all kind of weird things. And there's just hair growing out of my shoulders and I didn't know what was happening. And the experience of learning, what I did was I chose to be by myself and not pursue any sexual relationships with other people for over a year. And I got really creative. And then when I jumped back into the scene, then it felt more natural and more like a choice of mine. And I have a lot of people that I work with that just kind of feel that crawling under your skin and just anxiety about pursuing sexual relationships with people because they feel uncomfortable with their bodies. And I want to emphasize that you don't have to do that, and that sexuality is not dependent on your relationship with somebody else or any other person, that you can pursue pleasure for its own sake and your own satisfaction for the sake of your own satisfaction, completely independent of any other human being, and if it lasts a day or for the rest of your life, that that is still a really valid and comfortable choice if that's what you want to do.
Good. Yeah, I want to ask you, and also our other guests too, related to that, do you have any, particularly as a sex educator, like exercises, or particularly like writing exercises or thought experiments or whatever that you recommend to people to sort of help our, some of our listeners perhaps do some exploration on their own or work through some of that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. What I tell people a lot is just to be naked and touch your own body, not even necessarily in a sexual way, but just look at yourself and touch yourself and caress and do like self-massage. That's like a good first step, because a lot of people are very terrified of their own bodies, or they have this kind of revulsion that was pushed into them. And just starting to work that out is just like start slowly and look at yourself as like, this is a body that can do things, that can give me things, that can express itself. And from there, like especially moving into sexual pleasure, I tell people to develop special rituals, because there's something about a ritual, about maybe lighting candles or playing music or taking a shower and really relaxing and getting into the moment where you are really setting your mind up to set this piece of time aside for yourself and for your pleasure and to express your own energy. That makes it different than just kind of, you know, just trying to do something kind of on a whim. But you're going to set up these steps and you're going to really create a space. And from there, to move into just what feels good. So like, if it feels good, do it. Because I think in a lot of ways that we're still trapped into what our body, what we think our body should and should not be doing, and what pleasure is and what it isn't. And what we're taught pleasure is really different than what pleasure is for most people. So it's like this exploration. And so to allow yourself to flow into the exploration and to say, this is what works really well for me. And I was taught this thing, and I was taught that if I don't do this thing that I'm broken, but I'm going to break away from that thought and let myself experience pleasure for pleasure's sake, how I experience it. And I think that is a really important journey, especially for trans people, when we're taught all kinds of harmful and negative things about our bodies. And our, like I heard earlier, our sexuality is either, we're either objectified or we're taught that we shouldn't be sexual at all. And to find that middle space where you're confidently able to do things for yourself because it feels good, and that's a good enough reason.
It's true that we, as a society, we have experienced a lot of shame, basically being naked. It's been seen as something wrong. I mean, we can go back to the myth of the Garden of Eden, the moment that they're told to put clothes on. A subconscious message is sent to the people that are reading that, telling them that there's a reason to be ashamed of your body, you know. And so I also suggest to people, it might sound kind of crazy, but stand in front of the mirror naked and tell yourself that you're beautiful. Tell yourself that you love yourself. Look at your body as if it was a temple. And this doesn't have anything to do with religion. It's your sacred vehicle. And so stand in front of the mirror, look up your body, and tell yourself that you love yourself, that you're capable of love, that you are worth it. And it might sound crazy, but it really does work, because it does send a message to your subconscious mind. And then later on, when you're having a sexual encounter, you might not remember, but that would help so that you can feel more comfortable.
Laura, I want to make sure that you're included in this part of the conversation too. Do you have any thoughts about what Ajuda and Tope and these other people have been talking about? Does this relate in any way to your art?
Well, yeah, I'm actually making a checklist in my head of things to do, including looking up Toby's book, standing in front of the mirror naked. And I have to find some candles so I can touch myself naked.
Busy night ahead.
So, as far as the art goes, I have been looking into bringing more physical intimacy and expressing my art in that way. I like the ways that couples interact in public, and I always try to imagine how they interact in private. So I'm trying to think of ways how to express that with photos and watercolor paint. But for now, I'm just thinking about candles.
And I want to make sure that, you know, we give Toby a chance to plug her book, and I want to make sure that we have give you a chance to plug your music, and I don't want to forget about that before the end of the show. So tell us about your album.
Oh, so I'm actually touring this month on the East Coast. It's an EP called She They, and it's about all my gender identity issues, which are beautiful. Yeah, you can find it at laraamerico.bandcamp.com or at my website, laraamerico.com.
Okay, great. So let's get back to talking about how there's all kinds of stuff floating around in this conversation right now that really interests me. And I also do want to just say that our show next month, you talked about couples, Laura, and our show next month is going to be more about family. It's going to be about interrelationship, and it's going to be about, you know, people that we've transitioned with through the course of our lifetimes. So it's going to be kind of like trans family, new definitions of family within the trans community. So we'll be talking about that more next month, kind of those deep relationships. Does anybody want to step in right now with a comment or a question?
I had a question for Judah. When you mentioned that you work at a shop, is that an adult shop?
Yeah, it's an adult shop.
Okay.
It's called As You Like It. It's a really unique store because, it's eco-friendly. So the stuff in our shop is body-friendly and eco-friendly. And it's completely designed, the whole setup, to be body positive and gender inclusive. So we don't necessarily assign genders, like this product goes with this body or this kind of gender.
Right.
And the staff's really small, and everybody's very, very well trained and very knowledgeable. And also we don't sell things to people. So we talk to people and we see what they're looking for, what their issue is, and if we can match them up to a product, that's one thing. But a lot of times we'll just tell people, why don't you try X, Y, and Z, or maybe you need to see your doctor, and they don't buy anything, and we send them out the door.
Right. I was curious, and I asked that because I myself used to work at an adult shop, and one of the things that I used to see was that some of the clients were not very open, and there was one of the trans girls that worked there. She specifically avoided helping male customers because of all the, you know, everything that goes with that. And so I'm curious as to like what your experience has been as far as that goes, as far as like being able for a trans person to provide great customer service without feeling like.
That's a great question, because I've been to stores in town, and sometimes it's hard to have that conversation.
Right.
I mean, and when I'm looking for stuff, because even though they're, you know, even in Portland, sometimes people have a hard time relating to trans bodies, even at adult toy stores.
Right. I this is actually the third shop that I've worked at, and the experience here, I'm going to completely separate from my experience working at the two other shops. I worked at adult shops all the way through college and grad school. And I think the thing that makes this particular store unique is that it's owned and operated by a queer woman who has a fiery mission in her soul to make the adult industry transparent and accessible. And she is very, she's an activist on the edge of body positivity and acceptance. And so working for her, it's really easy for me to be completely confident in myself, knowing that if somebody does say something terrible to me, or they're transphobic or they're homophobic, then I can ask them to leave and I'm going to get backed up in my decision. So that's one part. And the other part is Eugene overall is a very, very friendly town. Like, the crunchy granola hippie myths are all true, 100% accurate. And so I think our clients overall, most of them, the most you could say is that they're not educated, but they're willing to be open and accepted. I have a big tattoo on my arm of the trans symbol, and next to it, it says, fight like, there's a cuss word there, for the living. It's a Mother Jones quote. People who are cis and straight see it all the time, and they see how wonderful that is. And so I think knowing that I'm supported in my workplace allows me to be confident. And because I just carry myself with confidence, people don't think twice about it. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left. This is amazing. We've made it through a whole show about sex without having to press the red button once. So that's a big accomplishment.
Good job,
so we're going to go around. First, we want to make sure to get all our guests a chance to talk about what they're doing one last time. So let's start with Toby. Toby, one last time, tell us about your book.
Yeah, so my book is Nerve Endings, The New Trans Erotic, and it is 30 stories of sex, sexuality, and relationships in trans people's lives. You can find more about the book or pre-order it at instarbooks.com.
Great, thank you. And Laura, tell us about your music.
It's the softest, most delicate queercore you can ever find on earth. And on the recordings, I play each instrument and I do the vocals. So it's like my three personalities joining together to form a band. And you can find me at LaraAmerico.com, and that's Lara like Lara Croft and Americo like America, but with an O at the end.
Lara Americo, LARA Americo, AMERICO.com.
Yep.
Great, thank you. And Judah, how can people get in touch with you?
You can find me at As You Like It, the shop, or we're online at asyoulikeitshop.com.
Okay, great. So I've got one last question for everyone. We're going to start with the people in the room. And this is optional. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. Okay, starting to my right, Rowan, top or bottom?
Switch.
Aiden?
Top.
Top.
Nicolette, top.
Yeah.
Jane. Bottom.
Emma, bottom. Toby? Top or bottom?
Top leaning switch.
Laura, top or bottom?
Extreme bottom.
And Judah, top or bottom?
Middle.
Middle. Great. Well, you've been listening to Trans Positive. Thank you so much. And look for us on transpositive.wordpress.com. We're going to have the Not Safe for FCC show up there, and we'll be recording that next. So if all our guests could stay on, that would be wonderful. Any last announcements?
Oh, I was going to just remind people that once the podcast is posted, I'll be posting the link on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/transpositivepdx, and you can like that to follow all our updates.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Dead end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test. Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes. Don't wanna be a richer man. Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes. It's gonna have to be a different man. Time may change me, but I can't trace time. crush the ripples, change the size, but never leave the stream of warmth.
Hello, KBOO members. Thank you for being a part of our amazing community. It takes all of us to manage this great community resource, and the role played by the KBOO Board of Directors is essential. Here's an opportunity for you to join the KBOO Board and become part of the team that is guiding our daily work and representing the interests and visions of all of our members. Please consider applying to become a KBOO Board member if you want to help serve our community and put your gifts and talents to good use. There's a time commitment about 15 hours a month for all board members, and you must be a KBOO member. To apply, go to kboo.fm or stop by the station and pick up a paper copy. The deadline to apply is February 18th at 5 p.m. We are looking for folks who love KBOO, who are committed to the community and KBOO's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism,